We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making it cool to be a conservative. All right, we're switching gears. We're going to Dipper number two. We're going to talk a little bit about at the border. So if you did not hear it, there was breaking news a little while ago. I mean, literally like 20 minutes-ish before I went on the air. The Supreme Court of the United States has agreed that Texas may enforce its own border immigration laws and can arrest illegals who cross the border. That's, y'all, that's huge. Here's what that also does, too, by the way. That changes the dynamic, because now what's going to wind up happening is the people of Arizona and California that are next door run by liberals, they're going to look at their leadership and go, well, Texas can do it. Why aren't we? That's what's going to happen. Because I haven't seen it. I don't know if there's something about this particular ruling that was state specific. It was state specific in that it dealt with a Texas law. But it's not state specific, I would imagine, in that if a neighboring state had a similar piece of legislation, that it could be upheld. So good luck fighting it in the future there, libs, because the Supreme Court just spoke today. So, yeah, I mean, this is like literally just days ago. I mean, I printed this story out and I used a story from just like yesterday. Townhall.com was saying Texas got some bad news from the Supreme Court about their immigration law. That's the headline. It says, God bless Texas. State's doing everything it can to curb the flow of illegal immigrants. They erected a floating barrier in the Rio Grande. The court slapped that down. The state legislature opted to pass a law empowering police in the state to detain persons who enter the country illegally. And most or not all of that, if not all of that law, which is called Senate Bill 4, SB 4, is already federal law. They're just saying, here's our state version of exactly what y'all said do. If you're not going to do it, we'll do it. Well, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit is considering the measure's legality. But lo and behold, the Justice Department had asked the Supreme Court to put the law on hold. And they haven't. And the Supreme Court now just allowed Texas to move forward. So that happened just in the last hour and a half. The U.S. Supreme Court on Tuesday, according to a story here on FoxNews.com, allowed Texas to enforce a law that allows local police to arrest migrants suspected of crossing the border illegally. The ruling comes a day after the court extended a block on the state law at the request of the Biden administration. The Biden administration had argued that the law, known as Senate Bill 4, could usurp federal core authority on immigration. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton has also responded to, and he's saying that we're doing this because the federal government won't. Well, so what does it do? Well, one of the things I don't know for a fact, because headlines can be wrong, all right? I need to see some legalities. But there's actually been a headline that said they can detain and deport. I don't think so. I think deportation authority is vested only in the federal government. But it does say that SB 4 in Texas criminalizes unauthorized migration at the state level, making the act of entering the U.S. outside of a port of entry already a federal offense into a state crime, and creates a felony charge for illegal entry. Well, what that means is they can arrest you, they can detain you, they don't have to turn you over to ICE, they don't have to turn you over to Customs and Border Patrol, they don't have to turn you over to the Department of Homeland Security to watch you get put on a plane and flown to the far reaches of the nation. They don't have to worry about whether or not you're going to walk free the next day or just have a phone number written on your arm that if you call, suddenly you've got a sponsor willing to receive you in Timbuktu. I mean, none of that. We don't have to worry about whether or not, you know, you're going to be able to roam freely and suck down essential services and welfare payments from places that are being overrun right now. Texas can stop you. Here's the other thing it's going to do. It's going to be a deterrent. Texas is going to start arresting people. Texas is going to have a heck of a time with where to put them all. That's Texas's problem. But I guarantee you, the state of Texas is going to become a deterrent that the coyotes are going to go, okay, we got to find a new port of entry. And they're going to start going to Arizona and California. It's going to be something else. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. More of this. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all, I'm talking about Alabama. And I mean to say this show goes whew, way down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville and Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. So let me go back, and I've done some research during the break, because keep in mind, that was breaking news about the Supreme Court. So here's what I know in more detail. I just went to the Austin American Statesman, which is the local, you know, Austin news site, Austin, Texas. Headline, U.S. Supreme Court reverses decision on SB 4, allows Texas immigration law to take effect. This is not, and here's a kicker, this is not a final ruling on the merits. This is a denial of the injunction, in other words, the stay of the implementation of the law that the Biden administration had been seeking. So the Biden administration at the lower court had obtained an injunction. And by the way, an injunction is usually asked for to A, preserve a status quo, or B, it also granted when it is appearing that the person or the entity requesting the injunction may prevail on the merits. In other words, you know, the government may have had a good case. So, yeah, we'll grant the injunction because it's, and it could also be something that a manifest injustice would occur if the injunction was not put in place. Okay, all that to say, they got the injunction at the lower level. It went all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States, and the Supreme Court just said, no injunction. What does that mean? The law goes into effect immediately while they still pursue a final outcome of a trial on the merits. That can take quite a while. Meanwhile, liberals are freaking out. They're calling this, the Supreme Court is letting a trial run on a constitutional crisis. Yeah, okay. How about this? We have a constitutional crisis already. It's called an invasion at our southern border, and the state of Texas is being completely overrun, and all they want to do is take care of their people. Why is that so hard for y'all to figure out? If you won't do it for them, why should they not be allowed to do it themselves? Here's an idea. It's kind of like the Castle Doctrine. You and I have a right to defend our homes. If we call the police, but there's an armed intruder coming into our house, we have a right to defend ourselves and to defend our quote-unquote castle. We have a right to the use and enjoyment of our own space and the relative security thereof. And if we have to take action to defend our home against an invader because the police can't get there in time, what's the difference in Texas having to defend their border because the United States won't do it? Okay, I've probably oversimplified, and I'm probably thinking some constitutional scholar can talk me down from that. But the reality is that's the micro view of the macro problem. They're just defending their house. So right now, SB 4 goes into effect at the southern border. And the U.S. Supreme Court, it was a divided decision, but it was comfortable. It was a 6-3 decision. 6-3. I thought it was 7-2 earlier, but it was a 6-3 decision. That's pretty good. I mean, you know, all it takes is a 5-4. They got a 6-3. And here's the thing. It does allow for deportation. There's something. So right now, what it allows is a series of penalties for anyone suspected of crossing into the United States through into Texas, other than through an initial port of entry. The penalties range from a Class B misdemeanor up to a second-degree felony. The law then allows state police to arrest that migrant suspected of entering the U.S. and to force them to accept a magistrate judge's deportation order or face stiffer criminal penalties. In other words, you're here. We caught you swimming across the Rio Grande. You're not going to be able to just stay here. You are now detained. Here's the criminal charges. You will go back to Mexico, and we will get you there. But you have to, oh, by the way, go now, or we will wind up assessing stiffer penalties. It's like the plea deal. Oh, nice. Well played, sir. I had no idea what was happening there for a second. Thank you, Big Rig. So. This is huge. And I got to tell you, I think that that people in the neighboring states of Arizona and California are going to look to their east and go, what the heck, man? How about this, Governor Katie Hobbs? How about this, Governor Gavin Newsom? It's working in Texas. And they're all coming over here now. So can we please do something? And you're going to have conservative state legislators. They're going to look at SB 4 in Texas, and they're going to drop a bill in their own legislature and try to get it passed. They may or may not, but they'll try. I guarantee you they'll try. And rightfully so. And I hope that some of the northern states begin to do the same. And they start looking at their northern borders. And next thing you know, if you're not careful, you're going to wind up having a patchwork quilt of different ways of handling things. And guess what? The coyotes, the cartels, they know. The coyotes and the cartels who do all the human trafficking, the drug trafficking, they know. They know exactly where they can face some stiffer penalties. And they know if they can go across Arizona freely without fear, then why would they go across in Texas? That's what's going to happen. But this is going to happen because the southern border is like for instance, here's one story off the Daily Wire came out last night. You're hearing this more and more. An illegal alien from the Middle East was arrested last week in North Carolina after opening fire at a business and subsequently attacking law enforcement. By the way, he's on the terror watch list. Yup. His name is Awet Hagos. He's 32. He was in Gates County in North Carolina. Police were called to a quick stop convenience store where they discovered Hagos discharging a firearm. The suspect allegedly attacked law enforcement, managed to fight off the tasers the sheriffs had used on him. He fled to his residence. He remained barricaded for hours. It allegedly tried to take a sheriff deputy's rifle at some point during a struggle. They eventually got him into custody. He is an illegal alien on the terror watch list from the Middle East. Crime. How about this one? Story dated March 15th. A quiet neighborhood in Florida is reeling after three illegal aliens allegedly kidnapped and sexually assaulted a woman. The incident occurred in the John Prince Park by Lake Worth Beach in Florida. The woman was simply walking to a gas station, said she was first sexually assaulted next to the gas station, and then another time outside a pickup truck where it was even filmed. The Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office says the woman was able to escape and flag down someone to help her. The three illegal aliens, and they name them, no sense naming them because it wouldn't matter. One of them is charged with sexual assault and false imprisonment. The other two are in felony counts of criminal conspiracy. And it goes on to say it's because of the open borders. You got three guys attacking one woman, and it's just unreal. It goes on in this article to say, and this is what we're dealing with. According to Immigration and Customs Enforcement's annual report, nearly half of the 170,000 illegal immigrants arrested in the U.S. in 2023 alone had multiple criminal charges and convictions. Nationwide, criminal aliens average four charges and convictions each, including over 33,000 charges or convictions for assault, 7,500 for weapons offenses, 1,700 for homicide-related crimes, 1,600 for kidnapping. It's crime that we should not have to. Crime's not going to go away. If we get rid of all the illegals, there will still be crime, but there won't be illegals committing it. And that's the point. Our southern border, as porous as it is, thank God for Texas. Thank God for Governor Abbott and, you know, Ken Paxton and a state legislature down there that is willing to actually say, you know what, enough of this. We'll do it. We'll stand in the gap. How about this one? Story off CBS dated 4 days ago. Rockland, this is in, is it Massachusetts? Yeah, Rockland, Massachusetts. Governor Maura Healey confirmed that a man charged with the rape of a 15-year-old girl with disabilities at a Rockland hotel that was housing migrants had entered the United States through a federal program. He's from Haiti. Haitian migrant Corey Alvarez, 26, is charged with a sexual assault at the Comfort Inn on Hingham Street in Rockland. He's currently being held without bail. He was literally brought here through a thing called parole. You may have heard the conversation I had yesterday with U.S. Senator Katie Britt. This is what's happening right now is the Biden administration is bringing them in. They're not just not guarding the southern border. They're importing them. They're flying people in. It is beyond just saying, look the other way. Don't pay attention when they come across the border. Now it's, how can we help you get here? The parole program, here's an article from the AP. The parole program has been around for a long time. It was designed to help people who are being persecuted find their way to freedom. We have now seen where Obama, Trump, used parole for several hundred. Biden has granted at least 1 million immigration paroles. 1 million. And these are, by the way, not just people who cross the southern border. These are folks like this guy who was in Haiti, who just announced through the app, because the Biden administration now has an app, announced through the app that he felt like he was unsafe and needed asylum. And they gave him a plane right here. And now there's a young girl who's been sexually assaulted, raped, a young girl with disabilities in a hotel that's housing migrants. So he's living on the taxpayer dime. He got flown here on the taxpayer dime, and he broke laws, and now he'll be adjudicated on the taxpayer dime. And I hope they throw away the taxpayer key. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come back from this break, and I'll close this section out. It's big doings in Texas, y'all. Big, big doings. And I'll tell you a little more about what Governor DeSantis is having to do down in Florida. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, oh, man. Making common sense a superpower. Got several text messages. Let me get a few of those. Jenny from Decatur says, thank you very much. Says, wishing you an amazing, as in AU, like Auburn University, an amazing birthday, sir. Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate that. Brian from Decatur says, it's an uphill battle to change the liberal Democrat mindset. I had a customer a few months ago that thought you could legally buy a gun at a gun show without a background check. And they could not understand why people would be against that. No matter what I told her, it did not seem to get through that she was misinformed. I mean, they are, some of them are so steeped in what they think they know. I had some on my Twitter feed just today that I was having to sort of school a little bit. Pam from Locust Fork says, maybe we need to reinstate capital punishment. I can feel my blood pressure rising when I listen to your show. We have capital punishment in Alabama. I'm pretty sure Texas has got a drive-through window for theirs. Anyway, Brian from Huntsville says, good to hear Texas prevailed. He says tomorrow's his sister's birthday too. That's awesome. Brian S. from Huntsville. Tell her I said, happy birthday. It's a ruffian day. Good to hear Texas prevailed for now. For decades, he says, I've heard people say we can't just deport all of them here illegally. I've said, just make an announcement. They need to leave by a certain date. If they're caught past that date, they'll never be allowed to return. Nobody should be able to stay and just jump the line in front of people trying to do it the right way. Indeed. Thank you, Brian S. And then David from Athens says, Phil, happy birthday tomorrow. On your way up to the undisclosed location, take time to stop by and see me. Working at Bucky's. Awesome. That's cool, man. I'll tell you what, if I can stop in at Bucky's in the morning to get a cup of coffee on the way up, I'll look for you. David from Athens. That's cool. And then Scott from Russellville says, happy birthday, Colonel Williams. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that very much. Last couple of things here. Governor DeSantis is aware that we are looking at a situation where suddenly we could see a massive amount of Haitians trying to depart a country that is literally falling apart right now. And I don't mean that lightly. I hope you heard earlier in the, was late last week, actually, I did a whole section on Haiti. And I probably need to touch on it again because Haiti is the Somalia of the Caribbean right now. It is unbelievable. Governor DeSantis has now deployed personnel, assets, and National Guard to guard his what is basically his border region, which is the waters surrounding the state of Florida. He says, for some time, the state of Florida has been dedicating significant resources to combating illegal vessels coming to Florida from countries like Haiti. Given the circumstances in Haiti, I've directed the Division of Emergency Management, the Florida State Guard, and the state law enforcement agencies to deploy 250 additional officers and soldiers and over a dozen air and sea craft to the southern coast of Florida to protect our state. You know what I like here? I like decisive leadership. Because what are we seeing from Biden? Nothing. Fecklessness. Waffling. The border's secure. You know it's not secure. Stop that. All God's children can look at you and know that you don't believe what you just said. The border's Mayorkas, the border, sir, is secure. No, it's not. You lying sack of crap. You know it's not. You're just saying that because you're trying to toe some kind of party line. No one can look at this and say, that border's secure, when you can see video evidence of crowds of people, crowds coming across, like herds of people coming across the border. The border is secure. No, it's not. And now I'm looking at Governor Abbott and the state legislature from Texas and Governor DeSantis and his own state legislature literally locking arms to do the things necessary to protect their state. And it's just so missing on the federal level. All right, listen, I'm gonna go ahead and pause right there and take the last few minutes to sort of preemptively discuss the next dipper. All right, so here's what's about to happen. Coming up in a few minutes, we're going to wind up having State Representative Matt Simpson. He hails from down in South Alabama, I believe, I think Fairhope. Representative Simpson is going to be calling in because he is the lead member of the legislature working on amendments to Alabama's ethics laws. I have deep concerns, but I feel better about the idea of talking it out in public than to see something done behind the scenes. In 2010, when I first got elected, and by the way, a lot of people don't realize when you're elected to the state legislature, you take office that night. You don't wait for several, you know, months to get sworn in. No, it's like you get elected that day, the polls come in, as soon as they announce and it's certified, bam, you're an instant, you know, state legislator. So I took office along with a whole slew of newbies in November of 2010. Our first regular session wasn't supposed to be till like a few months later. I didn't even know where the bathrooms in the state house were. And all of a sudden, Governor Riley, I love Governor Riley. All of a sudden, Governor Riley just called us into a special session. Like, I don't even have an office yet. Where do I park? What do I do? And we go down to Montgomery. We spent 7 days in special session doing nothing but revising the ethics laws, striking while the iron was hot. Because Governor Riley was leaving office, and there was, you know, no real clear indication that ethics would have the same push later if it didn't have it now. And we also wanted to catch them while they were all off guard, and Democrats didn't know what to do yet, and lobbyists were trying to figure out life. Because we had just changed the landscape of Montgomery. We took it from 136 straight years of Democrat control to overnight we had a Republican supermajority. But see, there was so much influence peddling in Montgomery at the time that a lobbyist could literally spend up to $250 per day per legislator without reporting it. Do you know how much money that is? They could report it as being spread out when it was all done in one whack. There were people going on lavish trips. There were any number of times when, you know, mega dinners were being held and parties were being thrown and quote unquote gifts were being given and it just reeked. And so I ran for office in 2010 on cleaning up Montgomery and passing ethics laws. That was part of my platform. It was part of what we called the handshake with Alabama. We passed it. So now I want to hear from Representative Simpson what it is he thinks he needs to change. I'm always open to the idea that something can be done better, but I get really leery when I hear about ethics laws being changed because I know what it took for us to change them the first time and make them strong. I don't want to see them weakened. We'll talk to Representative Matt Simpson here momentarily. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.